This week's Shir in Parshas Balak is brought to you by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Louis Nishmas, Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Chaim. There's an interesting Gemara in Horius, which is also found in Nazir, which relates to this week's Parsha. It says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. La'olam yasok adam b'toru mitzvahs afilu shelo lishma. That a person should be osek in Torah mitzvahs, even not for the right reasons. Shelo lishma. Why? Shemitoch shelo lishma, balishma. Because in the end, what's starting out to be shelo lishma, and for the wrong reasons, in the end, he'll do it for the right reasons. Where do we see this? We have a raya from this week's Sedra. Shebischar arbi mishnayim karbonas sheikriv balak harasha. Because as a reward for the 42 karbonas that Balak offered, zacha v'yatsasa mimenu rus. Out of him came rus. Da'amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, rus bas beno shel Eglon. She was the granddaughter of Eglon ben beno, who was the grandson of Balak Melech Moav. So a couple of things first as an aside. Where do we see, says Tosfos 42, where are the 42 korbanas? So we see in the Sedra, Balak went with Bilam and to three different places. And in each place, he told them to build seven mizbechot, altars, and on each altar to offer a par and an aisle. So therefore, there were seven altars, and each one is a par of an aisle, which is 14. Which is, 14, and there's three places, 3 times 14, and there's 42. So that's the 42 korbanos. There's a question that they ask, again, this is as an aside, it's quite funny, the Lashon, la'olam, for a person should always do mitzvah shalolishma, shemitoch shalolishma balishma. So they ask, what's the la'olam? A person's forever going to do it shalolishma, when is he ever going to do it lishma? Right, he says, "La'olam yasok adam." It's one question. Another question is that normally, how do we understand this? Okay, a person does things with the wrong intent, but then eventually you start doing it with the right intent, right? But where's the raya the Gemara brings? That the Gemara says in the schar of Balak that he brought the 42 gemanas, ruse came from him. So, but that, what does that have to do with Balak? He did it shelo lishma. And we talk shalol lishma, balishma. Where is the lishma? Well, Rus came out with them. That Rus, that was much later, many, many generations later. What does it do with Balak? So I was thinking to answer, say one question answers the other. Meaning, we see from this Gemara that lav dafka, the reward is instant. That, in other words, he becomes a shalishma for that person, as we see here. Right, it was Balak that did it shalol lishma, and only many generations later it came out the lishma. So with that, we can understand and answer the first question as well. We say, what does it mean la'olam, a person say, well, if he's always going to do it shalol lishma, where's it going to be lishma? The answer is, it could be la'olam, his whole life he'll do it shalol lishma, because the lishma will only come next generation or generations later. So it could be such a scenario where a person could be la'olam shalol lishma, and we talk shalol lishma, balishma, many generations later only. Okay, all this is an aside. The main question I saw the Mefarshim ask is how the whole raya here is difficult. So we're saying, what's the raya? From here we see we're trying to bring a proof that a person should do a mitzvah Torah mitzvah shalol lishma, shemitoch shalol lishma b'lishma. What was the mitzvah shalol lishma? Well, because he brought these karbanas. But why did he bring these karbanas? He brought these karbanas to curse Klal Yisrael. Right, he brought Bilam, and Bilam says, okay, here, you have to make these altars, offer this, and in order for me to curse Klal Yisrael. So why did Balak build it? It was a mitzvah shalol lishma. What kind of a mitzvah shalol lishma? It's the biggest aver in the world, making these karbanas to curse Klal Yisrael. What kind of a mitzvah that was? Okay, it was a mitzvah, but it was just, you know, shalol lishma. That's a mitzvah shalol lishma. It was an aver. To answer this, move on to an interesting shaila I saw once. It was brought to Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita. It says there was once a boy who, lo aleinu, had problems with his kidneys. and both his kidneys are failing, and the doctors needed desperately a kidney transplant, you know, to put in at least one kidney that he couldn't live. So the boy's mother, of course, was, you know, offered that she'll, you know, be happy, you know, save her son's life and give one of her kidneys to her son. So the doctors, you know, made the checks to see if it's compatible, and they saw that her right kidney was compatible, not her left one. Okay, so that's fine. It's enough. At least the boy will have one healthy kidney. Good. So the woman hired a specialist, you know, top doctor to the operation, a private doctor, which cost quite a bit of money, but, you know, only nothing but the best to make sure everything goes well. So the doctor operated, but wouldn't you know it, made a mistake. Instead of taking out the right kidney, that was the one that's supposed to be for the transplant, he, by mistake, took out her left kidney, the one that wasn't the mati. Anyways, after, you know, closed her up and everything, and he realized the mistake, well, of course, when she found out about the mistake, she was, needless to say, furious, and she took him to court, you know, because of his carelessness, that took out the wrong kidney, whatever. She sued him. Fine, so she sues the doctor. In the meantime, the kidney that they took out, you know, the one he took out by mistake, the left one, anyways, they sent it to the lab or whatever, and they found out that this kidney was totally nagua. It was cancerous, the kidney. Meaning, what does that translate to? That this doctor saved this woman's life. Because she has two kidneys. He took out the one that was cancerous. If he would have left that one in and take out the right one and give it to the boy, she would be left with the bad kidney. That would have been the end of her. So by leaving in the right kidney, which was her good kidney, and taking out the bad one, by accident, saved her life. So then the shaila came up. The woman, you know, of course, was thankful, but she still continued suing him. And said, that's true, you saved my life, but on the other hand, you still took out the wrong kidney. The one that you weren't hired to do. And therefore I'm suing you still for taking out the wrong kidney. So the doctor, on the other hand, he sued in return and said, no, I'm asking you to pay me the full price for the operation because I saved your life. It was a wonderful operation, one of the best operations I ever did. I saved your life. So that was the shaila. So in other words, two questions, therefore. Is the doctor chayev to pay for damages because he took out, quote-unquote, the wrong kidney, as the woman's side of the story? And if you're going to say that no, he's not chayev for damages because he wasn't really the right, ended up being the right kidney, can he in turn charge the woman the full price for the operation? So Rav Zilberstein answered, and he says that the doctor is pater. He doesn't have to pay damages. He says, why? Because he didn't hurt this woman. He didn't mazik her that he had to pay damage. He didn't damage her. He saved this woman's life. And in fact, every Yid, every Jew is responsible to save another Jew's life. And therefore he did what he was supposed to do, like any Yid was supposed to do, is save this woman's life. And that's what he did. So that's not called damage. No damage was done. It was a saving. He saved her. And he brings a very interesting Shilas and Shuvah. It's called Shari Deya. And he points out something very, very fascinating. He says that even though we're familiar with this idea that mitzvah is tzrichas kavana, when you do a mitzvah, you have to have the right kavana when you do the mitzvah. He says, big chiddush, that this idea only applies to mitzvahs bein adam l'makom. Things, mitzvahs you do between you and Hashem, so they have to be done with kavana. But mitzvahs bein adam l'chavero don't need kavana. Meaning, the main point of mitzvah ben am lechavero is that the chaver receives the good. So if, because of me, this person received good, that's it. That's all that counts. I had kavanah, I didn't have kavanah, I meant it, I didn't mean it. If the bottom line is he receives kavanah good, so I'm yotzi the mitzvah. Doesn't matter what my kavanahs are when it comes to mitzvahs ben adam chavera. And with that, he explains the Gemara that says that if a person says sela zul itztak al manashi yichya beni harezet tzadikam, where the Gemara says if a person says I want to give this money because I want my son to live, in other words, he's giving it shalom lishma. He gave the not giving, doesn't care about the ani, he's giving it to whatever it might be. He just wants it so his son should live. It's chus for his son. The Gemara calls him a tzaddik gamur. So what do you mean tzaddik gamur? Tzaddik gamur, somebody gives, he wants to lishma, the right reason. He wants to help the person. Not because he just wants to do it for his own good. But we see from here, again, since it's ben adam l'chavero, and this a poor person got my money, that's all that counts. My God, kavanah is for other reasons, doesn't matter. Tzaddik gamur. Because we don't care about kavanas when it comes to mitzvahs ben adam l'chaver. Which brings to mind a beautiful story. There was once the Rebbe, America's the Admor Mipapa. And he originally came from Europe, he settled in Williamsburg, and then he ended up in Borough Park. And the community grew as Kehila, and they were in great need of a cheder. They want to open up their own Talmud Torah, you know, for the mishpachas. So they didn't have money for such a thing. They decided to make a magbit, a dinner, and to try to raise money. So the Rebbe was an old man already, not so strong. So they want to, you know, bring the Rebbe out to the dinner for nothing. So they made a condition that anybody coming to the dinner has to promise to give minimum $1,000 donation. Okay. So they had the dinner, and the Rebbe gets up and says, starts the proceedings. Says, turns to the first person near the head table. Says, "How much would you like to give?" So the person says, "I'll give 1,000." It's wonderful. Goes to the next person. "How much would you like to give?" 1,200. Good. You 1,300. And people kept upping it, whatever. And I'm giving their donations. Wonderful. They got to one of the men there, who was known to be very wealthy and usually a philanthropist. He used to give a lot of money. He was a philanthropist. And they asked him, "How much are you going to give?" So he says, $200. So the Rebbe says, "What?" So everybody was shocked because he thought he would give dafka a lot. He says, $200? So he says, the Rebbe said, "Excuse me, you know we had a condition here. Anybody coming has to give at least $1,000. So what's this $200? He says, "Yeah, Rebbe, but, you know, what are we collecting for? Cheder, right? But," he says, "I only have girls. So I'm not going to get anything out of it. So I figure, why should I give so much money? It's something I'm never going to benefit from." So the Rebbe says, "Oh, that's because of that. That's the case." He says, "So the opposite." He says, "Why don't you give, and maybe b'schus that you'll have a son that will be able to use the cheder one day." She says, "What, Rebbe? You mean you're giving me a bracha that I'm gonna have a son?" So he says, "Listen, I'm not God. I can't promise anything, but if you give a donation, you never know. You never know." So when the man heard this, he couldn't believe it. He said, "Fine, Rebbe, I'll give $10,000. So he says, so the Rebbe was shocked, $10,000, when are you going to, he goes, "Right now." He left the hall, went home, came back, gave the Rebbe in his hand $10,000. The Rebbe gave him a nice bracha, "You should be zoicha to have a son, a karov, whatever." And sure enough, 9 months later, his wife gave birth to a boy. So, of course, who's going to be the son, Dick? The Rebbe. The Rebbe, again, was old, whatever. He used to spend the summers in the Catskills, in the mountains. So the Rebbe, this was in the summer, and the Rebbe was in the mountains. So it didn't matter, the father and the wife knew the baby boy. They made the trek, and they went up to the mountains just to have the bris there, so the Rebbe could be the son. So this man had a brother who was even wealthier than him. Very, very wealthy person. And he also didn't have any boys. I think he had any children, Bechla. And he was married for a number of years, he didn't have any children. And he heard, you know, what happened with his brother. His brother said, because asked him, "Why are you schlepping all the way to Catskills for the bris? You know, why are you doing that?" So he told him the whole story. He says, "What? You know, it was, you got the boy, it was because he had a bracha from the Rebbe." He goes, "Oh, I, you know." So he quickly goes into the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, what do you want? Any money? Just tell me, I'll give it to you. Just give me a bracha. So he says, listen, I can't help you. He says, what do you mean you help my brother? He says, yeah, but at that time I needed money, and he came through, and it was Ace Ratzon. It was like, it was the right time, you know, and so, right now I don't need any money, and now it's not Ace Ratzon, and it's not going to do anything. I can't help you. So he was very dejected. He left the Rebbe, but he decided before he leaves, he went to one of the Gabayim, and he said to the Gabay, listen, the Rebbe says, you know, only when he needs money, Yis Ratzon, you know, then maybe bracha will work. So, do me a favor. If you need money, the Rebbe needs money for the future, he says, keep me in mind, and I'll come right away, you know, to give you the money, because I want a bracha. Fine. So the Gabbai heard, etc. A few months later, the Rebbe had another idea, another plan. He wanted to start a whole community of Avreichim, with apartments and a little community for Avreichim, they're learning Torah. So the Rebbe says, very important, we need this, but he says, but we have no money. And it's not so long ago that we made a collection for the cheder, so we can't ask people again, and where do we get money, whatever. All of a sudden, the Gabbai, you know, little light bulb lit up in his head. He goes, wait a minute, money? So he quickly calls the brother, the rich man, and he says, listen, he says, now's your opportunity. The Rebbe needs money for this project, for Rechim, apartments and this, a community, whatever, and he doesn't really get the money from. He says, now's your chance. So he drops everything, rushes to the Rebbe. He gets into the Rebbe and he goes, Rebbe, I hear you need money. No problem, you know, I'm here. Just tell me what you need. I just want a bracha. So the Rebbe says, again, who am I? I'm not God. I can't promise you. And he goes, no, I know, but please, I know. Just give me a bracha. I want. He says, whatever you need, whatever. So the Rebbe said, no, what can I do? Who am I? He says, no. So the wealthy man takes out a check from his checkbook. He hands it to the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, no, here I insist, take this check. I signed it. You fill in the amount. Fill in any amount you want, up to 7 digits. So the Rebbe took the check, and he fills it in, and he shows it to the Gvir. He looks at it. He says, what? He says, the Rebbe wrote here $180. What do you mean? That's it, huh? So the Rebbe said, listen, it's 10 times high, 118 times 10. So he says, no, Rebbe, come on now. So he takes out another check from his checkbook, and this time he fills it out, and gives it to the Rebbe, check for $10 million. So he says, Rebbe, now give me a bracha. So the Rebbe said, okay, Zot Hashem, Shavi Zocha Jav HaSan, whatever, and gave him a nice bracha, and the man left happy. So time went on, but no results. Wife wasn't getting pregnant, no children. So he went back to the Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, maybe like $10 million. I mean, something. He says, listen, I told you, I'm not God, but I'm davening for you. What can I tell you? Okay. So the man left. Shortly after that, the Rebbe was nifter. So when the man heard that, he was beside himself. Now what? His only hope was that, bracha with the Rebbe, whatever, and now the Rebbe's not around in the world anymore. He says, what's going to be? But what happened? 9 months later, his wife gave birth to a boy. So he saw that the Rebbe couldn't take care of things in this world, but he didn't want to be chayev. So he took care of it from the next world. However, the Gabbai showed this, or one of the sons of the Rebbe, they showed this rich man this envelope, and it's in the envelope was the check for $10 million. And the Rebbe wrote on the envelope that please don't use this check until this man has a baby. You see, he didn't want to use the money unless he can come through. Rebbe came through, maybe not in this world, but at least the next world. So here we see again, shalom lishma, you know, giving it to have a child and giving it in one. But lamaisa, that's mitzvahs. We said ben adam lechavero, they don't need. It can be shalom lishma because they're. It's fine. The ikar is that the other person receives the benefit. Doesn't have to have proper kavanas. So with this idea, and therefore, as we said, the doctor is therefore a pater because he did the right thing. He didn't have kavana. He made a mistake. But the maisa, since his woman's life was saved, made a mitzvah, made a machavero, so that's fine. And he doesn't have to pay her for damages. He saved their life. So I was thinking to use this idea to answer the question we had on the Gemara with Balak as well. So we said, the Gemara said that La'olam, a person should do mitzvah shalom lishma, come from shalom lishma, comes to lishma. And what's the example? Balak, he did a mitzvah shalom lishma and became lishma. So we asked, that's called a mitzvah shalom lishma? He made these korbanos to curse Klal Yisrael. What kind of a mitzvah? It's a mitzvah shalom lishma. But according to what we're saying, perhaps we could explain that what happened in the end, that the Bilam cursed Klal Yisrael? No. In the end, Hashem made it that his curses turned into brachas. So Klal Yisrael benefited from Balak, really. Right? It wasn't his kavanas. He wanted to curse Klal Yisrael. He brought Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. But in the end, Klal Yisrael got blessings because Hashem made the curses into brachas. So here's another example of somebody having the wrong kavanas, but in the end, ben adam chaver, at least, good comes out of it. Klal Yisrael got these beautiful brachas from Bilam, right? Derech Balak, all because of Balak, who brought Bilam, even though his kavanas were not correct. But we said that's perfectly fine. So it could be that's the person should do mitzvah, Torah mitzvah, shalom lishma. That's the shalom lishma. We said that's a mitzvah. He's not to curse. Yeah, he wanted to curse them, but in the end, it was a bracha. And we said when it comes to ben adam lechavero, it doesn't matter what the kavanas are. So that is basically a mitzvah shalom lishma. It's not lishma. He didn't want them to have a bracha. It's shalom lishma, but lemaisa, it's still like a mitzvah because they got a bracha out of it. And when it comes to ben adam lechavero, you don't have to have the kavanas. And then. But it could be that that's why, since it was shalom lishma, and totally shalom lishma, he really wanted to curse him, it ended up being a bracha. Could be that's why the shalishma only came many generations later, right? When Rus came into the world, which was many generations later. But that's because it was really shalom lishma. But shalom lishma and balishma eventually came into the world. Rus was a very lishma. That came was the Tzatzaim, the offspring of Balak. And just to conclude the Shaila, we also asked, what about the other way? So fine, so the doctor doesn't have to pay anything, but does the woman now have to pay for the operation, therefore? Because since he saved her life, maybe she... So, Rabbi Zilberstein said two things. First of all, he said, Lamaisa, the doctor did make a mistake. Okay, so it ended up being that, you know, Hashem planted, no, Kol Bidei Shamayim, it all worked out, L'chol HaTovah, that it was the right thing, but L'maisa, he didn't do what he was hired to do. He made a terrible mistake, ended up being good, but, so therefore, the doctor has to be reprimanded, he's perhaps his license taken away, that anyways, because he L'maisa didn't act properly. Rav Eliashiv says about paying the doctor, said since Lamaisa in the end she again did, you know, something good did happen to her, the kidney that really should have gotten taken out, and as far as Hashem was concerned, it did happen. So therefore, she does have to pay him, but she only has to pay him the price of a doctor that would do such an operation. In other words, it's a different category of an operation of just taking out a kidney than to transplant a kidney. Right? Transplanting is a whole different, much more expensive. It's a, you know, it's a whole thing. So she doesn't have to pay him for like the price of a doctor who's on the level of transplanting or whatever, because that's not what was done. Okay, that's something, that's what wasn't really necessary. If she was only taking out the kidney, she wouldn't have needed this, perhaps this as an expensive doctor. So she, you know, would only has to pay what a lesser doctor she would have to pay for, but not, you know, not that same dargah of doctor, but she does have to pay as it comes out. So that's our shiur for tonight, and our lesson that we gleaned is the importance of ben adam l'chavero. But we see even without kavanah. So if without kavanahs, we see the results and the schar sometimes in this generation, some later generations. But surely everybody would agree that it's not necessary to have the right kavanahs. But if one does have the right kavanahs, and when he does misses, he does chesed, he helps people, he has the proper kavanahs, it's surely a tremendous mila, above the regular case of without kavanah. So at the Shem, we should do all our mitzvahs, bein adam l'makom, bein adam l'chavero, with all the tremendous kavanas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see these kavanas and be happy with them, and reward us with all the greatest brachas in the world, and the ultimate bracha of Bias Kol Tzedek, b'mhirah v'yameinu.